welcome back. We're really sorry that we had a week's delay on Camera Creation Show 19. I blame Ian. It was his fault, wasn't it? And then when Ian couldn't turn up, Chris jumped on that bandwagon, and it was a chaos. Gentlemen?
Yes, it was
all the blame.
It was just a bit of a funny week where everyone was knackered and had crises, and it just didn't happen. But we're here now, and it's Thursday the 23rd of April, and it's show 19. And this is the show that we said we would do some photo critiquing. And we asked our lovely listeners and MeWe group members to chuck us their pictures, and we would put each of them through the panel and see what we like and don't like and would like to constructively criticise about them for those people. When we've done that, we will also, depending on how much time we've got left, we'll do some of our own, the panel's photographs as well, and then use the rest of the time up of this show doing that and criticising each other, no doubt. Constructively, of course. In the meantime, let's talk about the website, which is at tedsalmon.com/camera creations for now, and also the Camera Creations shared album is where you can look at these photographs if you're listening to the show and you want to follow along and see what we're talking about. They're all in there and you can do that. But before we go any further, we've also had a discussion at the beginnings of a discussion in the Camera Creations group. So with the four of us really were involved in that. Charlie Winston, who's with us today, of course, Ian Bundy, Chris Clayton, and Joe Hickey chipped in as well. And we were talking about Camera Creations, the concept, what it was about, why we are limiting a Camera Creations podcast and MeWe group to just cameras and banning phones. The idea at the outset was that we were fed up with hearing about phones and photography and from phones, and we wanted to have a place where it was just about traditional proper cameras. But it felt as though at the beginning of that discussion that that idea may have now shifted. The Camera Creations podcast is not broadly listened to. The some of the thoughts were being batted about were about opening it up so that more people from PSC, particularly PSC photos, might jump in if it was a broadened topic and not just cameras. But those were the beginnings of the discussion. I think we should have that discussion now and decide on what we want to do and what if we want to change the emphasis and scope of Camera Creations. And I'm going to start with Chris, because he's the one that's made the notes in the recording notes.
Oh, crikey. Okay. Yeah, for me, it's not really about the camera. It's always been about the photo, and the camera's kind of just led on as a natural evolution of my love of photography with phones. So I've always been all in on sort of integrating the phones into the group. I've also gone the other way where I've had issues with trying to post into the phone group when I do all my editing on desktop software. So for me, I've not really seen much difference between taking pictures on a phone or a camera. The workflow's identical. So I've never really been totally on board with the delineation that we've had. But also, I do understand that there is kind of a different kind of reward of taking good photos with phones. There's kind of a you're kind of beating the system, you know. You're taking something that shouldn't really be used as a camera, and you're elevating it. So I do see both sides of it, but for me, I think, especially if you want to get more people on board, a PSC Photos podcast kind of makes sense, and we've got like the basis of that here. But then you're sort of asking the question if the phone photo crowd would be okay, you know, with camera discussions as well as phone discussions. But on the other side of that, it would give our podcast a lot more scope. People like Gavin, who have been, you know, contributing to the photos, Gavin Fabiani Lamond, who's like myself, been doing the phone photos for, you know, 10 odd years now. I think he could come on board and he could really contribute a lot, but he doesn't shoot with traditional cameras as far as I know, but he still contributes a lot with the phone. and takes amazing pictures with it. So I'm kind of on board. I think we should include phones, discussions about phones in terms of specifically their cameras. All the Chinese brands have got 1-inch sensors, you know, which are comparable with a lot of point and shoots that would be up for discussion in our group. So yeah, it's a thumbs up from me, but with some empathy towards people who might feel a bit put out if we kind of bring phones into a camera podcast. So that's my take anyway.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Ian?
Yeah, I think I agree with Chris, and I know from my perspective, I started taking photos on phones, and it was an evolution to using cameras, and maybe it might help other people take a sort of similar journey where they get a lot of enjoyment taking photos on their phones, and the next logical step would be getting a camera. And it's quite a step from everything being done on the phone to starting at zero again when you get a camera and maybe in manual mode. So I think it'd be good. I mean, I to me, it's always been camera creations, and it really not restricted to a device. It's still a camera creation. You've created it. And I think there's some really interesting things happening with people going back to film. Are you considered getting the Game Boy camera attachment for my old Game Boy and using that? And as I say, I think there's so much fun to be had with cameras. Maybe restricting it just to dedicated devices maybe restricts people. But and again, with the latest phones, they're all being marketed as this is your next camera. So I think it'd be good. Again, if it helps someone along that journey and get more pleasure out of taking photos, but also maybe having the confidence to make that jump because other people have gone through a similar sort of journey. So yeah, I'd be up for it.
Okay, that's two votes then. Charlie?
Yeah, I think I'm largely in agreement with Ian and Chris. I mean, at the end of the day, a camera is just a tool, just as a mobile phone is a tool. You know, the outputs are the same. They both produce images. The inputs are different, obviously, but I think with a mobile phone, there's less friction. It's obviously easier to use. It has a larger audience. I think there's caveats that we have to be aware of. I think there's a danger that we could, alienate one group of people, like hardcore photographers. They might not be happy with us discussing phone specs, but more in relation to taking photos. But then again, I would say I'm a hardcore photographer. I have all the kit. I have all the gear. And I think using phones for photography is great. So I don't have an issue with that.
Okay, so we also touched on the question of how that might be integrated with PSC. So somebody humorously was talking about the fact in the last few days about opening up the photo of the month, PSC photo of the month, to cameras as well. And then that, by definition, almost slaughtering anything taken on a phone, because if you're going to let cameras, proper cameras in, with huge bits of glass, it's likely to not be very level, not much of a level playing field. Any thoughts on that, anyone?
I would disagree, really. Sorry, go on, Chris.
I was just going to, it was me that put that comment in there, and it was really just a light-hearted reference to the pictures that Ian could be putting into the into that group. You know, as a professional motorsports photographer, he's going to have the equipment and the access, which are just going to crap all over what anyone else is going to reasonably expect to get with a phone. You know, if you got Max Verstappen, a stunning photo that we all spoke about a few months back that you got off Max Verstappen, I mean, it's going to clean up, isn't it? And every photo that you're going to take is going to clean up, you know, rightfully so. So I don't think personally that we should allow proper camera photos into the PSC photos group, especially not picture of the month. But I think maybe repositioning the podcast as a PSC Photos podcast, but there might be some kind of middle ground there. But in terms of the MeWe group submission specifically, definitely just keep the phones, in my opinion.
Okay, Charlie? Yeah.
I disagree. I think, you know, there's no difference, really. The only area where mobile photos fail is at nighttime photography. I think, you know, if you have a good eye for shooting subjects, it doesn't matter what you shoot on a phone. I think it's comparable to a full-frame camera. If that sounds controversial, then maybe it is. I understand what Chris is saying. And obviously, there might be like a large gap with the users in the PSC Photos group. Maybe they all shoot, I don't know, photos of flowers or something in their garden, and that's not comparable to what you would get with like a proper full-frame camera. But I don't think there's an issue with having both photos in the group, having full-frame and mobile phone cameras, but, you know, it's not for me to decide, so...
Well, maybe it's for everyone to decide, and on the back of this discussion, we could take it out to the members of that group as some sort of poll for them to vote on or get their opinions anyway. Any thoughts, Ian?
Yeah, I see both sides, and maybe I like Chris's idea around PSC Photos because that combines both, but maybe the photo of the month is still... the one taken on a phone, I think. We talk about maybe having photo of the month on from a camera and from a phone. I understand that could be challenging regarding administration and things like that, but maybe in the first instance, exclude the sort of the camera photographs from the PSC, because all of the heritage and everything around photo of the month and photo of the year, I think it would be sad to dilute that a little bit with what Chris was saying. So, but yeah, I think if you combine the groups together, I think that would be quite cool. But it also, again, give people the excuse that they needed to maybe go and buy a camera, because they can see the difference maybe in quality of that picture of a flower or something taken on a camera of what they could achieve. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we could certainly... Camera Creations podcast could easily become PSC Photos podcast. I know the P of PSC says phone, but I don't think that matters anymore. I think the PSC brand is just... It is kind of almost meaningless now to some degree. We could just use that. I would be quite keen to get rid of the Camera Creations website, which is sitting on the back of my personal domain, and put it onto the main PSC stream, particularly on podcatchers and so forth, because frankly the Camera Creations RSS feed that goes into podcatchers and YouTube and whatever gets virtually no listeners, I'm afraid. It's a very small group. I mean, there's not even that many members of our group, our MeWe group, Camera Creations. But if we opened that up and made it a part of PSC, I think that we would get the benefit of the history and the existing stream of where PSC goes, and make it all into one and post it in the same kind of area online and do all that. So I think that could work as well. What we do about the photo of the month and photo of the year and all that, we would have to, I think, evolve over time. If we did this, then we would need to start off by saying no cameras for now, but actually start to have that discussion with the people in PSC Photos and start to say to them, you know, how do we want to handle this? And as I say, maybe get everyone to vote on it or project a date in the future whereby we do change the rules of that, so that it doesn't affect the current photo of the month, photo of the year, but it's a right from that January we'll do something different. But these are all just ideas thrown around, to be honest. So perhaps we should say that we are going to include phone generated photographs in camera creations for now. I think I'm getting the feeling that most people are happy to do that, in which case we can start to do that right now, and the rest of today's show could, you know, feature some stuff about photos taken with phones as well. Are we all okay with all of that? I'm waffling a bit now.
My only concern is, what are we going to do with all the merch and the T-shirts for hundreds who we've got with camera creations? So yeah. I'm sick of all the mugs lying around.
I got told off in a YouTube comment I noticed when I looked the other day. Somebody said, a camera creations podcast that only talks about real cameras, and your icon, your picture for your thing is clearly AI generated, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah. At least it drove discussion. So I guess that's all we want.
You got the clicks.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. So let's move forward with that then, shall we? I don't hear any huge dissent. There's a slight difference in opinion about the, what goes into PSC photos. Charlie yeah. thinking slightly differently, but we can evolve that as we move forward. I might add, Ted. Yep.
I might, be against it, but I do think Chris and Ian both raise very good points, as Ian was saying about the quality. The difference in quality, if someone's got like a camera worth £2,000-£5,000, how's that photographer going to feel when they're up against someone with like a £700 phone? They might feel it's not very fair.
Or a £70 phone.
or a £70 phone, even worse. Yeah. they might just feel it's not like really a fair way to do things. Really,
yeah, and we'll have to evolve that, as I say, Charlie, because it might be, for example, that we do two competitions for a time, or I don't know. It's something that people have got to bat about a bit, hasn't it? Don't you think?
Sure,
I think we just need to up our game a little bit, Charlie. So.
Mm-hmm. The Camera Creations podcast is really, really quiet, and it's got hardly any listeners. So I'm all for opening it up in some way to try and get more. And I think that the traction that PSC has already got, if we can get it on the back of PSC, I think
PSC photos podcast kind of just makes sense.
Yeah.
And it would also give us guaranteed content, wouldn't it?
Because Yes.
Your phone use when camera is obviously a bit more intermittent, isn't it? A bit more sporadic.
Especially into the critique as well. I mean, I think that would be, again, could be a regular on the podcast. If we don't have a main theme, we would still have all of that content that we could go in and give a viewpoint on regarding the photos.
Okay. Camera Creations is dead. PSC Photos Podcast is alive.
Hurrah.
Does anyone want a T-shirt?
We'll move forward with that. Right, we'll come to the first stages of our critiques after we've had the rumours and the news. So, Chris and Charlie, let's do that first, and then we'll get stuck into the critiquing.
Okay, so hang on, let me get down to... Okay, I'm going to just knock a couple of rumours off quickly, and then Charlie's going to do the news. He's kind of stepped in because I haven't had time to get through them this week. First rumour, so Sony are rumoured to be joining the 200mm f2 bandwagon after Sigma got theirs out a few months back, and then Lauer shortly afterwards. So Sony, they're going to jump on that, and it'll probably be twice the price of both, and it'll be nice, but it's going to be a GM, probably going to be $6,000-$7,000. Knowing Sony, but that's coming sometime later this year, by all accounts. This next rumour is kind of a dead-on certainty at this point, which is the long-rumoured Sony replacement for the 100-400 GM lens. So the Mark I, I think, is like over 6-7 years old now. That was a variable 4.5 to 5.6. I've had two copies of that lens, I sent the first one back because it was very soft. Second one also soft and kept back focusing. So this lens was in dire need of replacement, but it's going to be around £4,000, but it's quite a step up. It's going to be a fixed aperture of 4.5. So it's not the F4 that was rumoured, it's F4.5, so it should bring the size down a little bit. But yeah, at a rumoured £4,000, it's just going to be slightly out of my my budget, but it's going to be a lens you want to get, I think. But that's it for the rumours, not much happening, and I think Charlie's going to crack on with some big news in editing, the world of editing.
Yes, so we've got some big news here from DaVinci Resolve 21. It's now competing with Lightroom, an alternative to Lightroom. DaVinci Resolve, they're trying to position themselves as an Adobe alternative, offering full-frame support using a node-based workflow. So as you're all aware with Lightroom, everything's done intuitively with sliders and color grade wheels. But DaVinci Resolve, they basically want to port over what they do. I mean, I'm not a video editor, but they want to take what they do for video editing, which is node-based, and then kind of use that when it comes to color grading photos. They're also going to be offering tethering support for Sony and Canon, which is what Capture One does. So that's great if you're a portrait photographer, obviously, in the studio. Why Lightroom doesn't offer that, I don't know. I think they do like a firmware update for it, but it's not natively built in, as far as I know, at least not on the Lightroom mobile version. They're also going to be offering photo organization tools similar to Lightroom Classic. Lightroom Classic obviously has the catalog. They're trying to compete with that. It's also going to get onto the AI bandwagon. You know, they're using AI masking, increasing the shift towards more AI-driven workflows. I think the key question here with DaVinci Resolve is, will photographers adopt a more complex nodes-based system, you know, versus something like Lightroom with sliders? And the answer to that is probably no. I think many photographers, they're hobbyists like myself, they're not really going to have the time to really go out there and learn a new system that uses a different approach. I don't think that's going to work for everyone. And in other news, we've also got a survey by VSCO, which is an editing app, I believe, on iOS, which said that working photographers adopt AI tools faster than hobbyists. A survey conducted by VSCO said that up to 68% of working photographers use AI in their weekly or daily workflows versus enthusiasts. They always seem to have a first mover advantage, these professionals. You know, they're willing to take more risks because, you know, they've got money on the line, so they're adopting AI tools all the time. And a lot of hobbyists seem to take like the kind of the moral high ground, as it were, saying AI is bad, you know, they'd never use it, or they'd use it in a minimal way in their workflows, but they're not getting paid for it. You know, these professional photographers, they make money doing what they do, so they're all in on AI. And I think
just a question on that, Charlotte. So I see this all the time working in IT around things about AI adoption, but what are they classing AI in the photography space? Is it
They're a bit vague, really. I'm assuming they're probably pointing to Photoshop with obviously all the AI tools that they're now incorporating. I was actually listening to a podcast recently on the Decoder podcast, and they had an interview with the founder and CEO of Canva, and they said that many models now, like Photoshop and Affinity, they're moving from a design-based platform with AI tools to an AI platform with design tools. So maybe that's semantics, but many of these...
Sounds like waffle to me.
Yeah. They seem to be getting onto, you know, AI, that everyone wants to be using it now. In what capacity, I'm not sure. I'm sure there's some ethics around how you use
it's so AI. Broad, though. If I select the sky in Lightroom with the AI masking, or select, you know, whatever with the AI masking, is that using AI? You know, yeah. I guess it is, but it is. I don't really see it as unethical. You know, it just saves me having to, you know, use a pen tool or something to. Mm. Yeah,
well, you could select this guy 5 years ago and do the same job, but it wouldn't
be as effective.
Yeah, it wasn't using AI.
That's something totally different than using generative AI to, you know, replace half the photo or replace the sky or things like that. So there's a lot of this video games as well for stock
imagery. I can guess why people are using that, but I think a professional photographer wouldn't be replacing anything in an image, or I really doubt that would be happening. Okay, they maybe use it to remove the odd thing off there or something like that, but yeah, I'm sick of all these surveys and saying AI is taking over. Until you give me reasoning why and how they're using it, it just seems like, oh, here's another story on AI.
Yeah, it's more sensationalist crap that's being reported. Well, it goes, I was just going to mention, before we go too far ahead, on the DaVinci editing, you know, how many Adobe killers, Lightroom killers have we, you know, been offered, and how many of them have ever gone on to kill Adobe? I mean, Adobe's never been more popular.
So. And what happened to the Apple suite that they were going to be taking over a few months ago?
It's not going to happen. I mean, there's a reason that everyone uses Lightroom, because it's the best product.
Yeah, it is.
By a mile. It's not even close.
Yeah.
And no one's going to change their cataloguing system either.
No.
I mean, that's the thing. If you've got a library of 40,000 images or something like that, you're never going to do it. Maybe the people coming into it may start with something different, but I guess the people earning a living from photography, they're not going to move from that. And the big agencies, they've got deals with Adobe anyway, so they're not going to be moving away from that. So, yeah. I'm not knocking the news at all. I think it's all good news, but the inner skeptic in me.
I mean, competition is always good. So, you know, nothing lasts forever. Eventually something will replace Lightroom and something will kill it, but it's not going to be this. Their editing workflow is not intuitive, I don't think. The node-based system, you know, sliders are popular for a reason, you know, because you've got all the information in front of you, you get instant feedback. It's just the most intuitive way of editing for a reason.
Definitely.
But there we go. I'm always fighting Adobe's corner, it feels like. It's just...
And keep paying the money. And
that's... I do keep paying it. But, you know, for £10 a month, I think it's pretty good value for what you get. Yeah. I think, you know, with Lightroom and Photoshop and all the cataloguing stuff they do and all the AI stuff they keep putting in is genuinely helpful, you know, all the masking. The AI subject detection in Photoshop is absolutely amazing. And no other software can really get close to what that does now.
Just a question, Chris. With the £10 a month version, do you get the Lightroom on your phone for that?
Yeah, you get... You get the Lightroom Mobile or whatever it's called on every iPad phone, but it also you get Lightroom Classic access and then Photoshop as well. And the Photoshop they've released on the iPad, the new one. It is double what it used to be. You used to be able to get it for £5 a month on the Black Friday sale. It used to be £60 a year, and now it's £110 on Black Friday. But still, I still think, you know, it's good value at £10 a month. That's with a terabyte of cloud storage as well, by the way. So.
Yeah, I think I pay £19 for that, I think. But,
yeah, that's full price, yeah. So if you get in the Black Friday, you'll get it half price.
Yeah, so you buy it up front.
Yeah.
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 Cool. Well, I like the idea that I can edit on Lightroom. So I take something, following on the subject we were talking about before, I can edit a photo I've just taken on my phone on Lightroom on my mobile. It's the same interface as when I go onto my desktop, but desktop I use Classic, but on my phone, but you can get them synced together anyway. So
yeah, so on Classic I have a collection which I sync, and it's literally called a whole library. And then I just add every image that I import into Lightroom Classic. It's automatically added to that collection. And then that syncs every photo I've got, which I can access then on the phone or iPad or whatever. It's not.
Are you tied into Classic? Seamless. Like your library's tied into Classic. Can you switch?
The catalogue. Yeah. The catalogue is, yeah, but that's no different than any other, like if you had Capture One or whatever.
Okay.
I know you use Google Drive to store your images, yep. which is no different than what Lightroom Classic does, but it's the edits that are proprietary. You know, you can't transfer the edits to another software, but you wouldn't be able to do that with any other software anyway.
No, I see what you mean.
But all the raw files, you know, they're just saved in a normal folder on whichever device you want to save them in, whether it's on a NAS or your MacBook, whatever.
So you can still use it with cloud storage like Google Drive if you want it.
Lightroom Classic, I don't think you can set Google Drive as a target folder. I think that's the only thing that the mobile version of Lightroom has over Classic, is that you can use cloud storage as a target folder. But
yeah, that's the only reason I use the mobile version.
There's no reason, as far as I understand it, that you couldn't use a folder inside your Google Drive on your computer if you're using a computer to do it, and then it wouldn't know where that folder was, and that folder is syncing up with your Google Drive.
Yeah, so I think it would work. I don't see why it wouldn't.
No, nor do I.
If it's just coming up as a destination, like as part of the folder structure, then why wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because anything on my Windows computer that's in that Google Drive folder will just sync up, and no piece of software knows that that folder's any different to any other folder on my computer.
Yeah. So that's what I do with Lightroom Mobile.
Yeah. Well, you should try it with Classic. Classic is better.
I hate the UI. Can't get on with it. It's like something from the early 2000s.
So, Charlie, was that all the news or was there more?
Yeah, that's pretty much all of it. The last thing I was going to mention was GoPro. They announced the new Mission One line of professional 8K and 4K open gate compact cameras. What caught my eye with this is it has interchangeable micro four-third lenses, so you can interchange them.
Yeah.
But as you know, with the GoPro line, everything's weatherproof, weather-sealed. I don't know what the IP rating is. I'm sure it's quite high, probably IP68 or something like that. So that's good. But the lenses aren't IP-rated.
They are. Olympus,
attach it to the GoPro?
Yeah, so Olympus cameras are the only cameras that are IP rated, the IP68, you can get an Olympus camera, you can stick it in a swimming pool or in a bath. It's crazy. So obviously not all the lenses, but yeah, some of their lenses are rated. So
you have to get the right lens if you don't want to break the IP rating, right?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
It's also a bit of a lump, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know why anyone would get a GoPro for the size, only to make it bigger and cumbersome with like a micro four-thirds lens. Well, it just seems redundant.
I think GoPro are just trying to capitalize on DJI being effectively banned in America, so they're going to be the de facto, aren't they now?
Makes sense.
I think they're just throwing anything they can at the wall.
Right. Okay. Well, there you go then. Thanks for that.
Are we going to talk about that Vivo, or is that on a different section?
Vivo?
Yeah. If we're incorporating phones, is it Ian who's put the Vivo X9, oh, not Vivo, Oppo. Oppo X9 Ultra. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Monumental moment. First discussion about anything to do with phones and cameras, now is moving forward. Yes, the Oppo penis extension.
Find X Pro 9. Find X 9
no,
Ultra.
No. X9 Ultra.
That's it.
The Oppo Find X9 Ultra, is it?
Yeah. I'm so close to pushing the button on that. I've just been stuck at it because I had the X9 Pro, and it was probably the best camera phone I've ever used. And with all of this new shenanigans putting on it with the 200 megapixel and the 10 times optical zoom, I think it's are cracking, but they haven't announced proper UK pricing. They are saying that there's a chance that if you buy it, I think it's going to be £1,600, and you may get the camera kit with it, which is £450, which includes the ridiculous Hasselblad 300mm lens. But
tell us about the 300mm lens then. What do you know?
All I know is that it's a... I think a lot of the Chinese manufacturers have been producing additional lenses that you can put on your cameras. I guess back in the day, I don't know if you had these, Chris or Charlie, but I did buy the Moment lenses that you could slot onto your iPhone and things like that. But what they've done is Vivo, Oppo, and I think even Honor now produce these additional lenses that give you a better sort of telephoto. So this will add the 300mm onto, I think it's the 70mm lens. If you would use it in real life, but there could be a use case. I mean, for Ed, maybe going into a concert and having that kind of reach would be pretty epic with a phone where you'd be restricted to taking cameras in. But
attaching to the 70mm lens, which presumably isn't the 1-inch sensor of the main lens.
And I don't think it has the 1-inch sensor. It's a 1.1, I think.
Oh, yeah. I assume they have a 1-inch sensor.
No.
Right, oh, okay.
So I've read a little bit about it, but I was just really coming from using exclusively the Pro version that came out back end of last year, and the camera modes and the X-Pan Hasselblad. This is the Ultra version, but I think they may have priced it out of the market. And I did include, so I think it's $16.99 in the UK, and that's only for the 512 gig of RAM and 12 gig RAM, and the storage is 512.
Well, it's a better value proposition than the Leica phone, which is about that. And with this, at least you get this lens.
Well, you don't know. So that's the actual camera. That's the actual phone itself. And what they're saying is, in certain regions, limited availability, you may get the camera kit.
So it could be like $2,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, the actual camera kit, I think the retail is $449, which is quite a lot of money for buying a toy Hasselblad lens, if you call it. But
looking at the image, I can see like a morbid curiosity about it would be fun to play with, and it would be, you know, a lot of fun to use, and I'm sure you can get some great images. But that price is mad. You could buy a Sony A7 IV with a lens for that price for $2,000, you know.
Yeah, but you're paying for the novelty.
Well, yeah. You are, yeah. But that's a lot to pay, isn't it, for the novelty of this little. It's even got a little tripod collar, which is cute.
how far, Ian, are we away from aperture control? I mean, if people are producing lenses like this, is there any physical reason why we couldn't be heading towards aperture control that then talks to you? I mean, if you've got a lens with a proper camera, the aperture ring can be on it. Why can't it? Could we not be getting towards that?
I think it's probably the last bastion of cameras, of the ability to adjust the aperture, isn't it? On if that came to phones,
mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think the Xiaomi Leica phone has an aperture ring on it. I'm not too sure where it adjusts. I mean, I remember back to the Samsung Note series that had aperture control, but you flick between two. But if you could have that, then you would have more control over the depth of field. And it could be a game changer, but as Chris said, they're pricing themselves a little bit out of the market. That if you, now you're going, the entry level is $16.99 for a phone. And I was looking at, there was another thing that came out this week where Panasonic have launched the 40mm f2 lens that fits on the Lumix S9, which is full frame. And you could get that for probably about £1,200 and then buy a phone. And you would have a lot more to it. But I don't know if it's the convenience or you get some fancy photographers doing a video with Hasselblad, throwing this thing up in a drone, and everyone gets on the bandwagon like me.
I don't think, by the way, that the Lights phone has got a physical aperture adjustment. That it's done in software, I think. So,
oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it has. I don't know anything yet, apart from, like you said just now, two steps. There were some people doing that. You either get f1.4 or f2 or whatever, but there's not really a proper control of aperture on any phone that I know of.
The trouble is with the small sensors is that it's really going to make very little difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than blocking out light. In terms of depth of field, the depth of field is so vast.
Yeah, so
what are you really gaining?
What we need is a phone then with a full frame sensor in it. Excellent.
Well, yeah, you need at least sort of, micro four thirds size sensor for an aperture control to really give you much creative control.
A nice fat phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why not?
Or just buy a camera.
And therein lies the rub. And our discussion, which we will take forward to the good people in PSE. So, yeah, that was our first discussion relating to phones on this show. Let's move on to the main idea of the show tonight, which was critiquing... some of the photographs that our lovely listeners have sent in. The first one, we had eight photographs from our listeners, and I'll go through them one by one, and everyone can chip in and say what they thought of them. The first one is a picture of a spider, which was taken by Ed House, who, as you know, used to come onto the show now and again, and had to step back because of health reasons, but Ed is still out there taking photographs. A crab spider on the back of the house, he says, taken with a Nikon D3100, a Nikkor 40mm macro, ISO 100, f8, 1/125th of a second. And again, dear listener, do jump into the shared Google Photos album. You can see what we're talking about. Very impressive. Let's have a critique of this. Who wants to go first? Chris.
He's not there.
He's gone.
Oh, sorry, I'm back.
Chris, you're nominated to go first on Ed Spider.
Okay, I'm terrified of spiders, so I can't look at this image for too long.
Oh, dear.
Look at the eyes. Look at those eyes. Horrifying. It's amazing detail. I don't even know what a Nikon D3100 is. I don't know if anyone else knows.
It's an APS.
It's an APS-C.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it, how much detail there is there. It's quite terrifying. You can see all the little hairs. Depth of field.
F8 as well. F8.
I was just going to say, that's F8, and the depth of field is absolutely minuscule on an APS-C, so that goes to show how hard macro photography is. So Ed's got the eyes bang in focus, staring into my soul. Yeah, it's quite amazing what he's managed to capture there. But yeah, that depth of field is really quite something. At F8 with an APS-C, so yeah, well done Ed for getting all the right bits in focus there.
Anyone else?
Yeah,
you got to jump in.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, I'm still in awe of macro photography and some of the stuff that Ed posts. I think I probably need some training or how I could do things like that, because again, the level of detail that you get and how close it is remarkable. It's just one of those, another different type of photography I'd like to have a play around with, but probably not spiders as with Chris. So.
Charlie?
It's a fantastic photo, but again, I could not take a photo of a spider. I'm terrified of them. But the level of detail, as others have mentioned, is astounding. And it just goes to show you, doesn't it? Like, I'm always thinking, oh, you know, I need to go away to get the photos I want, which is true for the style I shoot. But you just need to really head out to your backyard. And, you know, there's a subject matter right there. If you've got the balls to actually go and take a picture of the spider, do some macro photography, there you are. So, yeah, I think it's a really good photo. It's not something I would personally take, but the level of detail is amazing.
Any constructive criticisms? What about the composition or the angle? Because it is kind of, it looks like it's walking down a beach rather than, it's not flat, is it?
I like the angle. It kind of layers the image front to back, rule of thirds. Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I like the fall off from the front. You know, you got the blurred out on the bottom left. It's kind of well out of focus, and then it moves into focus. And yeah, nice fall off. Yeah.
Cool. What about that ugly green thing on the right hand side? I'm trying to find something to criticise.
Well, that's okay, because if you remove that, then you know you could be accused of, you know, going all out with AI. It makes it natural, it makes it human. I think that's good. There's some green stuff.
And I think Ed is fairly against AI for the most part. So yeah, I don't think he'd be using AI.
Is he anti-AI?
I think he is. I might have that wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's not a big fan.
Talking of AI, moving on to Gareth Williams' shot, which he dislikes intensely, not because of how it looks, but because of what it represents in relation to my photographic style. I remain curious about the nature of photography and art. I'm locked in a struggle with myself on this issue. What is the point of this other than fun, he says. Real photography is fun. This is not photography. He took this with the Sony HX400V, but use the watercolor setting from times of ages past, he said. So yeah, basically this is a completely reworked photograph which has used a filter to get anywhere with. Chris?
Yeah, there's lots of artifacts sort of on the layers of the waterfall. So is this where it's like done a composite to emulate a long exposure? Is that what's happened?
Not sure.
Yeah.
I think it's,
because it just looks a bit like on the top there, something going on. Do you see what I mean? If you go right to the top of the image, is that the watercolour thing? Yeah. Oh, that's the watercolour.
Yeah.
Yeah, filter that's been put on it. Well, I love long exposures, so any kind of long exposure image kind of pleases me. And I don't really have an issue with computer, not a generation, but it's like stacking exposures to emulate long exposure. That's fine. I do that with the iPhone all the time. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of the kind of the watercolor smudging the details. But I do like the image if it was kind of left alone. I would remove that kind of green bushy thing on the bottom right there.
Okay. Anyone else?
Is that the look he was going for? Gareth says he dislikes it, so I assume he's, you know, this was shot by mistake, or he wasn't going for that look, or?
I don't know. I think he was responding very kindly to our appeal for giving us something to talk about.
Well, the broader point of what's the point? Yeah, well, that's a discussion me and Charlie have had a few times, and there is no point. So
what's the purpose?
Just
because you do something doesn't mean to say it has to
exactly happen. No, this is what I've been saying. You just do it because you want to do it. It doesn't have to,
isn't it? You know, you don't have to do it for a purpose.
Okay.
I think it's a good photo. If that's the look he was intending to go for, then I think it holds up. Yeah. That wasn't the look he was intending to go for, then you could argue it's a mistake. But if he was trying to intentionally shoot it in his mind's eye, and that's how he visualized pre-visualization, that if that's what he was trying to shoot before he shot it, then well done to him, you know. It's not something I would shoot personally, that kind of filter look that he was going for.
Right.
But otherwise, I mean, he's achieved what he wanted to achieve. And I would agree with Chris. I would have photoshopped out the green thing in the bottom corner, bottom right corner. But otherwise, yeah, it's a good photo if that's what he was trying to shoot.
Okay, briefly, Ian, anything to say or should we move on?
No, it's not for me. I think from what you've written that he used the watercolour setting on the camera to generate that. Mm-hmm. But it just, apologies, it looks like AI slop to me. So
you agree. So everyone's agreeing with Gareth on that. Thanks for sending it in anyway, Gareth. Very brave of you. Ahmed Bivars is next with his cat picture, a ginger cat, which he took in a local park. Canon 70D, which is also an APS sensor, I believe, 18-135 IS-STM lens at 135mm, f5.6, 1/400th of a second, ISO 800 in manual mode. So any thoughts on that one, Chris?
I love Ahmed's photos. He's so creative. His still life images are absolutely amazing. He can sort of pictures of pencils and that, which he kind of makes something out of nothing. So I don't know why he sent a photo of a pet.
Oh, right.
Hate dog photos. I hate cat photos. I hate photos of bumblebees. Okay. Photos of the bottoms of planes.
Moving on.
I think Ahmed's got a large portfolio to pick from that could be better suited.
Charlie?
It's not very sharp. I've got a friend that bought two cats, and he has a Leica and a Sony, and he also has a GM Mark II 85mm. And that lens is so sharp, and every picture he sends me of his cats is like, I've never seen anything like it, you know. But this photo is too soft in comparison, really. That's my only thing I can say. Cat doesn't, I mean, it's in focus, obviously, but it's not really sharp.
It's at the long end of a zoom, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, I know someone who does sort of photography of animals, and one thing when they're shooting wild animals like lions and tigers, that the whiskers need to be sharp. I think it's a little bit soft, but also it's sort of cropped out the whiskers as well. So for me, I guess that it's a square crop, so I don't know if it is a square crop, but it's cropped out the whiskers, which I think loses it a bit. But I'm also with you that it is a little bit soft.
Yeah,
and it needs breathing room as well around the ears. It's too, as Ian said, it's too cropped, unless it was meant to be shot like that around the ears. It just needs some breathing room.
And yeah, perhaps with the eyes more in focus, it might have been different as well. But yeah, there you go. Right, Gareth Williams with a photograph is next of a black and white lorry thingy, I think, which he doesn't say he hates this time. So the Nikon D810, which I think is full frame. I think it is. And this is, he was using a Tamron 70-300 lens. Doesn't say where it was set, but any thoughts on that? Chris?
Not really. It's a man in front of an old truck. Nice detail. You can read everything. Is it like, I guess it's that like a car show or something, isn't it?
Nicely compressed, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Charlie?
But when you say compressed, you haven't got back to the room to breathe again, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's too close to the left wheel. There's no breathing room again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's too much overlapping elements.
Yeah.
Choice of black and white?
Well, you lose the man, don't you? Because it's black and white, the man kind of blends in with the vehicle.
That's true, yeah.
You just see his trousers.
I
could be a story in there, couldn't there? I mean, it could be...
Tell a story.
Yeah.
I quite like the compression of it, though. I like the fact that everything's on top of each other. The whole depth of it, and yet it's still in focus. It would be easy to take that and throw the background out of focus. but it'll be a different kind of picture. But it's also worrying me that it's kind of sloping as well, a bit like the spider. I don't know, it just feels like it should be straighter.
Design choice.
Yeah, I suppose so. Okay, that's cool. Next one is, oh, it's also by Gareth Williams, back to his toy camera, by his own or by his own admission, the Sony HX400V. This camera raises some serious questions akin to modern phones about what photography is. Less so with this one. And this is the one that's a bird flying over a seascape. Charlie? Chris?
Yes, lovely colours. Orange teal, spot on. I like the minimal composition, the silhouette of the bird. It hasn't tried to sort of rescue any detail from the bird, which is the best choice. What I often like to do with these sort of sunset sea photos is select the sea and just decrease the clarity and the texture just to smoothen out the harsh kind of detail in the waves. So that's something I like to do with these kind of photos. But also the horizon is wonky, so please straighten horizons.
Yeah, you're as bad as me, you see. There's also a couple of people in the water. I just noticed that. I've not noticed before. Charlie?
Yeah, there's two people in the water. I only just noticed the second one. I saw the first one in the foreground. I think it's a good photo. I agree with Chris. I would have kind of softened the sea. I just think it's a little bit too sharp for my liking. I need some dehaze or something. Otherwise, it's good. Whenever I see a bird in the sky, I know this is a real bird, but I always think it's AI. You know, someone's just dropped it in there. You know, AI.
Who would do that?
Yeah, but yeah, it's a good photo. I like it.
Ian?
I'll probably go the other way. So the bird's blurry, and I agree with the sea, and it's sort of slopey. I don't know where the eye goes. If the eye goes to the bird, it is, to me, blurred. I like a sunset, but I would have got rid of the bird, maybe, and had just maybe the sunset, but... That's just
I'm
me.
Glad Ian isn't critiquing my photos.
I think
feedback is a gift, isn't it, really? You may not agree with it, but it's a gift.
We're sticking with birds on the next one. Rohan Moligoda has sent in his picture of a... what is it? He doesn't say what. Is it a kingfisher? Okay. At a park in Sri Lanka, taken on a Sony A7RV, 512mm f7.1, 1/500th of a second. I was using my 200 to 600G lens handheld from a Jeep. This little fellow was only there for a few seconds, so was super happy to catch him before he flew away. I have edited in Lightroom, but I'm not totally happy with the edit. How could he have been happier, Chris?
Is it me, or is it front focused on in front of the bird? The bird looks a little soft.
Yeah.
Is that just my eyes? Focus. Yeah. Am I right? Because I know you've obviously taken the screenshots, so the resolution is a lot lower than it would have been out of camera.
But, where's the plane of focus then? On the eye?
It looks like it's on the below his wing, nearest to us.
It's where his feet are. That's
in
focus.
Feet are in focus.
Okay.
The feet and the rocks beneath the bird are in focus, but the top part of his chest and head and body are out of focus, unfortunately.
Right. So that's the main critique, is it?
And that's also that thing that rocks distracting.
I don't particularly like the composition.
Yeah, and there's like a leaf or something that's kind of got a big black shadow under the bird.
Would you
kind of leading my eye to the bit that's in focus rather than the bird. So
let's assume for a moment that the focus was right. How could he have improved it apart from the focus?
Well, I'm not really a bird photographer, so I'm not totally sure. I would have brought the shadows up a little bit more on the underside of the bird, just to sort of stand out, make the bird stand out just a touch more. Because it just looks a bit kind of muddy underneath.
The colours are not very bright, are they?
Yeah, it feels a bit unsaturated. I would add a little bit more saturation. It's hard to, it's easy to go overboard with saturation, so I don't want to say, you know, whack up saturation, but I would kind of play with the colour mixer a little bit. And desaturate the greens, because the whole top of the image is green, which is a colour that's kind of replicated in little muddy areas around the water. I would get rid of all of that and just have it as like a, I don't know, if you desaturate it a lot more totally or just keep it as a warmer tint, but at the moment you've got these green blotches and the whole top of the image is green. So there's distracting elements around the bird, which is, which I would remove before I started editing the bird itself, if that makes sense.
Okay. Ian?
Yeah, I mean, if it was me, I would have... one thing someone told to me when I first started was that you can't rescue an out-of-focus picture. But you could probably do a mask on the bird and whack up the clarity a little bit to give it a bit more, maybe the highlights as well. But again, sometimes you get very attached that it's amazing getting a kingfisher to getting a picture of it. So
from a moving Jeep.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that you got it is probably means so much more to you than it being a great photograph. And I think that if it means something that you got, remember that moment when you're hanging out the Jeep and you actually shot a picture of a kingfisher, then I think that's the thing to take from it rather than critiquing it. Because as I say, the skill was actually getting a shot of it in the first place.
Sure. Okay, we're back to Ed House, I think, for our second to last one. In fact, Ed has got the last two here. This one is a kind of still life thingy almost. Just an interesting photo of a groin ewer at Southwold. He took this on a Nikon D80, which is APS-C again. Nikkor 40mm f2.8 at f3, ISO 100, 100th of a second, edges cropped and the contrast and colour boosted in DXO Photolab 8. So, kind of a still life of a tree section. Chris?
Oh, he's gone again.
He's gone again, oh, Charlie.
I'm back.
Oh, right.
What's the aspect ratio?
Say again?
Aspect ratio. What's the aspect ratio of that photo? Chris, any ideas?
21.9.
It's almost like an X-Pan, isn't it? It's
not quite as wide as X-Pan. That's a lot wider than that. But the only thing that stands out to me is, like, on the bottom left edge, it's kind of, there's a gap. See what I mean? When the bottom right edge is... So I might have just cropped in a bit more to
and top right, top left as well.
Yeah, top left and top right as well. Yeah, so there's ununiform kind of gaps.
Crop in.
That was intentional.
Yeah,
maybe. That bottom left little bit there kind of slopes towards the middle of the image. That's the only kind of distraction that really irks my OCD. The macro image itself is quite interesting. You've got the sort of the red, which I didn't know what it was until you said.
I don't like the fact that the star is not in the middle. Either get it away from the middle completely or put it in the middle, but it's just slightly off middle.
Yeah, Charlie? So maybe a crop would help.
Yeah.
Mm. But I think you don't want it too perfect, do you?
No. Art
if
is art.
Right in the middle, it would look too, you know, there's nothing that's visually interesting. You want a bit, you don't want it all the same. You don't want it symmetrical, I think.
Mm-hmm. Ian?
I disagree. I like things in order. but we're all different. But I like the idea that you can make something out of nothing. And again, you could crop it in a little bit. And you could have put that in a frame, I think, would be pretty cool. I like it. I like the idea that, again, he saw something and got the image. Again, there could have been some work he could have done with cropping it and everything, but it's interesting.
Yeah, cool. And the last one, probably, I'm not sure that Ed wanted us to critique this one. I can't remember now. It's a picture of a lake and some water and some trees and some sky. Panasonic 18 to 40 millimeter. He doesn't also say what camera he's used to shoot it with. Let's skip that one. Ed will be fine with that. No trouble at all. Thank you for you good folks for sending in those photographs for us to critique. It has been an interesting experiment. We have not done that before. So we've now got a bunch of stuff from Ian, Charlie and Chris, which have been submitted for, and there's no way we've got time to go through all of this. So I'm suggesting that perhaps we pick one each, and then focus in on that for now. Good idea. Ian, pick one.
One of mine or someone else's?
Someone else's.
Okay, that's cool. Being on the spot, isn't it?
Yeah, caught on the hop.
What about Charlie's one of the dude with the AirPod in?
The dude with the AirPod in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because that's quite an interesting...
Yeah,
position. I'd like to know a bit more about that.
Well, it was I included it because I wasn't happy with it. His hand is actually photoshopped. His watch was partly there, and I had to rebuild it within Photoshop and rebuild his hand. And this was done about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2023 actually. So I didn't have the AI tools that we have today. So that was quite difficult. I think I pulled it off. The trouble with this photo was that the hand was out of focus, so I had to make it more in focus. I didn't really get the reception I wanted from it online, and I just took that photo unplanned. It was one of the first photos I took when I started shooting photography in Chinatown in Bangkok, and I just thought I'd submit it for criticism. It's an okay photo. I think what does the talking is obviously, you know, you've got the man's face, his tattoos, and then the color. I think the chrome, I desaturated that partly to really emphasize the red background and the subject. And it's an unusual photo, really. I like his T-shirt, Cathedral Land, I think it says. It's just something different, but that's when I was more into shooting people. I had it in my head fixated that you have to have eye contact, and I was really unhappy that the guy wasn't directly looking at me when I took the photo.
Chris, critique? He's gone again. I do quite like the red thing going on. There's a red theme throughout the frame, Charlie. Yeah. I do like that. I think the colour cast is done really nicely, and it has a kind of warm feel because of that. Oh, he's back. Chris, yeah. Any thoughts?
I am back. On this photo specifically, I think it's boring. It's a photo of nothing. It's just a man doing nothing. But can I pick a picture of Charlie's that I really do like?
No, hang on a minute. We're going to do this one first. Ian, any thoughts on this one?
It's done.
I think it's...
Be harsh, Ian. I don't mind.
It's not a good photo, but there's a lot wrong with it,
yep.
But it's interesting. I think that's the thing that, again...
But what bugs you about it? That's what I want to know, because I can't figure it out, obviously, because
it's all lopsided. It's all all the way.
Yeah, the eyes are wrong, but again, it's out of all of the photos, it's the one that stood out to me. So I don't think you have to have a perfect photo. I think you're probably aware of all of the flaws with it. But
it was one of my first photos, so I can be forgiven, I think.
Maybe the question is, what would you do differently? Because I look back at some of my photos when I first started, and then going back having an edit now, and they're very different. I would edit them very differently to before. I don't know how you feel about this one.
I think I'd probably remove a lot of the color cast on the subject.
Charlie, would you have even kept this photo if you took it now? Or would it just be deleted?
I probably would have deleted it. Because I'm even pickier now than I was to start off with. I only take pictures of people now if it's actually interesting.
Yeah.
This could be interesting, but he's in the wrong position. It just doesn't. It doesn't work, you know. I mean, it's just a guy in a red shop, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? I like the red. That's okay. I'm focusing on the colour, and I'm getting something from this. I like it because, particularly with the glow going up his front to his chin, I personally I think it works quite nicely. So
I like red.
Right, go on then, Chris. What are you going to pick?
Am I picking photos that I do like or photos I don't like?
Ones that you think that you can offer criticism on.
Okay, well, I'm going to pick on Charlie again. And it's the picture of like the three, I think it's in Greece. There's three guards with little red hats.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like
okay.
It's a portrait orientation. Okay.
Yep. That was actually taken on the Xiaomi 15 Ultra.
Hmm. Oh, right.
Overlapping elements.
A phone.
Overlapping elements.
Yay.
Oh, it's a phone. There you go.
It's a phone photo. Yeah. Fantastic phone, but I just didn't like the UI. So I actually had my Sony with me, and I had the Sony with, I think, a 40mm lens, f2.5, and I didn't have enough. I already had the vision in my head of what I wanted to take. This was kind of pre-planned. I knew what I wanted to capture because I saw them already get into this position, but I couldn't get the right angle without cropping in too much with the Sony. So I got out my mobile, the Xiaomi 15 Ultra, and I zoomed in and I got the shot that I wanted, really. I was quite happy with it. I was trying to get that kind of triangular kind of position with the men and the points of their guns.
Oh, okay. For me, the reason it stood out is because it's like my perfect image. Then I open it up full screen and you've got the man in the middle who's completely kind of overlapped by the man at the front.
That ruins
and
it.
It's so, it does. It ruins the whole image.
Don't notice it at first, though.
You don't, because it's like, oh, I really like that. You've got like the three points of interest. You've got the man, you've got the other man, you've got the writing. It kind of leads you through the frame. Yeah.
But
you
the
look
thing
at
is,
it again, you think this is some other bloke in a way.
Yeah, but if he wasn't there, you wouldn't have his rifle in the middle.
I didn't. But I'm not even seeing that. I'm just seeing the as I look at it now, all I can see is the man kind of half blocked. So I don't know whether you were able to sort of move the angle to separate them. I'm guessing you couldn't.
No, it was really crowded. I couldn't move around or anything. I had to stay in the position I was once I was there.
So, unfortunately, I just don't think the picture you want was probably feasible. But, yeah, for me, that man, that second man, has ruined the image.
Chuck it in the bin.
No good.
Right, Ian, something that you can see there that you'd like to offer a critique on?
On this photo?
No. Oh, sorry, you hadn't mentioned. We haven't come to you for this one yet. Let's do that first. Go on.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm about as deep as a puddle. I don't get it. The writing's a little bit off on the right-hand side as well. And it's more confusing than intriguing, I think, my take on it.
Do you agree with Chris about the man in the middle that's kind of messing it up, or do you think the whole picture's messing it up?
I think if you had one of the guys at the front, it'd be better than if he's looking directly at the other dude, but he's at an angle, so sometimes you ponder something and sometimes you have to move on, and I don't know how I couldn't fix it, and I think I'm with Chris. I delete it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, Ian, your choice for something you feel that you can offer critique on.
One thing I wanted to get critique on, which I'm just being selfish, and I'd probably go to Chris because he hates dog photos. But I took a picture of my dog, but I'm not happy with it because I think the eye's out of focus. I wanted to get another pair of eyes on it, if that makes sense.
Which one? There's two.
The one looking to the left-hand side.
The square one. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's anything I could do to rest, because when I look at it, all I see is the eye, and it goes, it's out of focus.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
Mm. Yeah.
But the trouble is, you're using the Leica, which is such a nice, sharp lens, that the sharpness is so distractingly good in the bits that are in focus that it kind of makes the out-of-focus stuff so much more obvious. That's,
yeah, look at the detail on the nose. Look at that detail. Yeah. And then look at the eye.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have got rid of that Leica, you know, Ian. You should have kept it.
But this is the thing about art, isn't it? That you could have been hoping to focus on the nose, and you were happy for the eye to be out of focus, because the focus of the picture was actually the snout, the nose, that end of it. It's just like we said earlier. It's art, isn't it?
No, it's a bad photo. Sorry. Once you see it, you can't unsee it, I think, and my wife wants me to print it, and I was like, there's no way I'm having that on my wall.
The thing is, even if it was in focus, it would just be a nice photo of a dog. I mean, it wouldn't be anything that, like, if a normal person took that photo, you go, oh, that's a nice photo of your dog.
I think that would be it, but it's, to me, as I said, the detail in it, I would admire it because the camera that took it was great, and obviously you have an attachment to the dog. It's not what I would put into any competition or anything like that. But I wanted to just to sanity check myself that everyone goes, oh, no, that looks all right. It's like, no, it's out of focus. Move on.
No, you're right.
Thank you.
Okay. So Ian, back to the brief. Do you want to choose one that you can offer critique on?
I did offer critique on Charles's one, but I'm happy to do another one if I can find. Say Chris's photos again. They're bluebells.
I should say I didn't submit these. These were just in the what we've been up to submissions. I haven't actually submitted any photos. I kind of forgot, to be honest. I've been so busy. But yeah, you're welcome to tear these apart.
There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Just so you know, I should have picked up some better ones that were more critique friendly, I suppose. These are just boring photos of bluebells, but this is what I've been up to in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
The one from just to add some, be interested in people's views on, and Charles's ones are the guy right in front of you over the water, and the focus is on the guy looking at the camera. I like that. I think that's an interesting photo. I don't know if I have any critique for it, but it's interesting.
You're missing the purpose here, Ian.
Okay.
Critique it.
You got to find something to critique. I'm going to try and get a critique going on Ian's couple of photographs here, which are looking at the lighthouse through the hole in the wall or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that I'm knowledgeable enough to offer any critique on it, but those photographs just seem to be slightly wrong to me. The bigger one looks like I want to... Sorry, the one that's darker around the outside, I feel as though I want to see more of the detail of the brickwork. And the one that's... You can see more of the brickwork, it feels like it's not in focus enough, or it's not supposed to be in focus, or whatever. And the lighthouse is standing there. I'm not sure. One of them has got it high up in the frame. When I say the frame, I mean the window frame. The other one's got it lower down, and I can't quite decide what that's about or where it's sitting. And I'm not quite sure about the composition of the photograph inside that frame in a frame. And both of those photographs, which I'm sure are very good, I just don't feel as though they work, and I can't see, apart from rule of thirds maybe, to try and do something with the frame in the frame. Don't know. Anyone else got any thoughts on those two?
I don't like frame within the frame photos, so I'm biased. I really don't like them. I think they're gimmicky. That's just me.
Okay, Charlie?
I like them. I think they're okay, actually. I like the frame in the frame. I disagree with Chris. I think it works. I think that's, you know, frame in frames, they're really good compositions overall. And you have the subject of the lighthouse, so it works. And also the one without the frame, the one just with the mustard field or whatever they're called, mustard flowers, and the lighthouse also works. I think they're good.
I think that one where the aperture is smaller and there's less light, and that the lighthouse is higher up in the frame, it just feels like that should be somewhere else in the frame to me and not where it is. Ian, tell us all about this.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. The history of it is that I took this picture, I think, probably about 5 years ago with an iPhone. So what it is, it's Haysborough Lighthouse on the Suffolk coast, and it's got an old pillbox right on the edge of the cliff, and you can go in the pillbox, and then you've got the frame that you've got and you could shoot the lighthouse through it. The one where you've got all of grass on is one I took on my phone because I wanted to see what the difference was between 5 years in mobile photography, because when I was trying to shoot it on the iPhone, I was really just struggling to get any detail. I couldn't get it to focus properly on the lighthouse. I think as an experiment, technically the phone is better than it was a number of years ago. The other one, I was in a bit of a rush this evening. What I wanted to do was to show maybe the difference between the phone and the camera. So the other one, which has just got yellow on it, is the camera, and I just grabbed that off. I'm not particularly happy with the composition or anything, or even the sharpness. So I don't think it works. I like the idea of a frame within a frame, but I don't think either of those work, to be honest with you. But I was just interested to see what it was like with a different camera shooting it with a later phone. And the other one's really a sort of between using a camera and the one where you've got the two flowers on the one on the left, one on the right, is from the phone,
yeah,
and the other two are from the camera. Okay. But again, it's a quick edit, but it was just interesting to see that the difference you get between the two, and to me, in a landscape, it's kind of similar, apart from maybe the one where you've got lots of the flowers at the front. And they're out of focus because you've got that aperture and you're focusing on the lighthouse.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But I appreciate the frame within a frame. I still think there's probably a photo in there somewhere, but I'm still searching for it.
I've just thrown a picture in there, which I picked out, which is one that I feel like should have been better than it was. So I'm happy to hear what people think I could have done to improve. It was taken a few years ago. It's sunrise in Thailand with three boats. It should be at the top of the album. It's quite an old photo.
You might have to refresh the browser. Oh yeah, I've just refreshed. I've got it now.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't really get the most of the scene. I feel like I should have got something better than this. It's a bit underwhelming. So I'm happy to hear what people think I could have done to improve this. Or
Ian.
Yeah, there's probably a photo in there. I guess the sun is sort of blown out a little bit, isn't it? Where there's not a lot of way back from that, making it slightly warmer, I think maybe could bring it out. There is such a massive contrast between the real harsh blue on the right and the sun. It'd be interesting to see if you warmed it up a little bit, how that would do it, and maybe also masking the boats and bringing the shadows up a bit.
I've tried to go to, because it's quite, I'd say, nearly 3 years old, this, when I first really started. I think I've tried to do too much orange, teal, warm, cold kind of colour grading to create the contrast, and it's too much. Like you say, it's like it's basically blue on the right and kind of orange in the middle. So
yeah, definitely. If you compare like the left-hand side to the right-hand side, it's like two different contrasts. Yeah,
so it doesn't make sense, does it? Because it wouldn't be that different, so...
But what if you cropped, if you lost the third boat on the right-hand side and you just cropped in and you just to the edge of that and cropped in a little bit on there, lose a little bit of the foreground and just have the two boats, then you would have less...
Yeah, less sort of dead space.
Yeah.
Or unlit space, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you could save it. It's a dud. I would have deleted it. Sorry, but it's just a few. It's just some boats on a beach with an overcast, cloudy. No, it doesn't do it for me.
Okay, we're nearly up to an hour and a half, so let's leave it there. Thank you very much, everyone, for your contributions to today's show, particularly the discussion, which I'll take forward to PSC, and I think we've come to a decision about what we want to do about that, so leave me to action that and we'll move it forward and try to evolve what's going on. Next show, I'm not sure when it's going to be. I kind of leave that to you three, but it might depend on what we're going to be doing with the hookup with PSC, so we'll leave it open for now. And just remind everyone that at the moment the website is at tedsalmon.com/camera creations, but that might not be there for much longer. And that if you're following along in this podcast and you've made it this far, another reminder that you can look at those photographs that we've been talking about in the Camera Creations Google Photos Shared album, link in the show notes, in your podcatcher as well. Anything else you need, you can find it at tedsalmon.com. Hooks in there to all of our MeWe groups and all of our other audio podcasts. And if you get lost, you can also find all that at Podhub UK. So watch this space. We'll be back soon in some shape or form, and watch out in the MeWe group for any announcements as to changes. But for now, thank you, gents, and catch you all soon.